Let's get our Bibles out. Well, let's just make a little start as we kind of start our new time together. So let's read Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostle whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Let's just look at those three verses for a little moment. So as I said at the start, this is Luke's second book to Theophilus. In Luke, he's actually called the most excellent, which suggests possible rank. Theophilus means lover of God. What I love, what stands out to me here is I've dealt with all that Jesus began, isn't it? See, isn't that wonderful? Jesus continues. So Acts is about what Jesus continues to do, what Jesus continues to do in and through the disciples. Isn't that great? And that work still goes on today. So what Jesus began, it actually continues. So he's talked about what Jesus began, but actually his purpose is to share what he's continuing to do. Until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Interesting to note that it's actually the Holy Spirit is the one that gives Jesus the commands. Isn't that interesting? You know, it is a Godhead, isn't it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings it to life. It's the Holy Spirit. See, scriptural things can't be understood without the Spirit. To the world, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are, you can have 55 doctorates, but unless the Holy Spirit brings this truth to life in your heart, it doesn't make sense. And Paul talks about that in Corinthians, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians 14, talks about, you know, unless you know the Spirit, unless the Spirit brings it to life, the carnal man doesn't understand it. It's foolishness to them, but it's the Spirit. So even Jesus has the Spirit gives him the words to pass on. Verse 3, he presented himself alive after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So we know that Jesus appeared to his disciples in many ways, talks in one of the epistles about in one time 500 people at the same time. Interesting that by the time Pentecost comes, there's only 120 there. That's interesting, isn't it? And it's always that case when it comes to this relationship with us and God. God wants to see that we want to turn up. Jesus doesn't, when he kind of resurrects from the dead, he doesn't go to Pilate in his quarters, does he? He doesn't go to the center of Jerusalem. He reveals himself to his own. There's this thing about God that God wants to know that we choose to love him, that we choose to follow him. There will be a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But God wants relationship. He wants us to choose. And yeah, he appears to them for those 40 days. And note at the end of verse 3, he speaks to them about the kingdom of God. I've talked about this a lot, and I will continue to talk about it a lot, because that is Jesus. Jesus brings the kingdom. The kingdom is the whole thing. It's the kingdom reign. It's the rule and reign of God in your life. It's not just salvation. It's the whole thing. It's going to radically change your life. There's a new kingdom coming. Don't forget those Jews who were waiting for a Messiah. We've talked about that in our series at Christmas. They were waiting for someone to bring everything back into order. And we'll hear a little bit about the disciples asking about that now. But there's a new kingdom. There's a new kingdom that's coming. He's teaching them what this is about. Verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's encouraging them to stay in Jerusalem, not the obvious place to be. Don't forget, persecution. We often, even with Acts 1 verse 8, we think about Jerusalem. Sometimes we think that starting at home is an easy place. It's not easy, is it, to share your faith with non-believing family members or colleagues? But in some senses, a harder place. In some senses, we need extra help. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives us that help for. He encourages them to stay in Jerusalem after he leaves them. And he's telling them that there's a new baptism coming. That's chapter 2. We'll be getting onto that next week. Verse 6. So when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Really interesting. Our key verse starts with the word but, isn't it? In scripture, it's always important when there's an and, a therefore. What is it there for? When you see a therefore, what is it there for? There's something that's going on before. So Jesus has appeared to his disciples. He's been teaching them about the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. And not as they would understand this kind of authoritative, everyone will bow on me right now. That will come. He's talking about a new kingdom, a kingdom that starts inside, top down, inside out. They then ask him a question. He said to them, so that was the question, will you restore? They want to know, okay, amazing, you've risen from the dead. Now, surely you're going to go in now, tell Pilate, here I am, get out of the way, emergency is get out of the way. But he still doesn't come in that spirit, does he? He actually says, it's not for you to know. And it's interesting, you know, you're in a strange time, and when your 14-year-old son, I overhear him saying, he says, Danny, is 2021, is Jesus coming again this year? You know, obviously with all this stuff with COVID and whatnot, it's a strange time when a 14-year-old is asking questions like that. And before I had a chance to answer, Shay obviously must have remembered what we were sharing when we were looking at the Messiah series, isn't it? And it says in Matthew, doesn't it? Jesus says, not even the Son knows, only the Father knows, only God knows. And Jesus says, you know, not even Jesus knows. They are a Trinity, they are a Godhead. Only the Father knows. Yes, there are signs. You can see those in Matthew 24. But it is not for you to know, Jesus said. It is not for you to know the times of season that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There's that but. There's that therefore. So it's not going to happen yet. But something's going to happen. You are going to receive power. Something is going to happen. Something is going to empower you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. So something is going to happen. We're going to have a Holy Spirit baptism. It's going to change something in us, and it's going to cause us to want to tell others. They saw the boldness of the disciples, and they could see that they've been with Jesus. The Holy Spirit it enables us each to have a relationship with God. That's what Jesus promised, didn't he? In John 17, I will send a comforter, a helper. See, with Jesus ascending, as Jesus ascends, as sad as it is for those disciples, the good news is each of us can have that intimate, strong, close connection to God through the Holy Spirit. It's incredible. And it's going to empower them to be witnesses. What is a witness? Somebody that sees something, isn't it? I've seen something. I'm excited. And you know, when you look at the news or you look at Wales Online and they talk about the riots in Queen Street, you know, newsflash, latest headlines, you know, 20 police vehicles seen in Cardiff. You want to know more news, don't you? You know, or is that just me? You're intrigued. What's the story? Well, you actually need people that are closer to the action, isn't it? So sometimes we'll hear something or this thing has happened in this country. Sketchy information comes through. But it's not until you hear from some of those eyewitnesses, those people that are firsthand. And that's what God wants us each to be. He wants us each to be witnesses. Not to say, do you know what? Let me tell you about this person. God's done such great things in their life. No, no. He wants us to be able to say, God has done great stuff in my life. God can do great stuff in your life. He wants you not to be the person that saw the ambulance. He wants you to be there. He wants you to be able to witness, to testify. And of course, that's where mission comes out of, isn't it? That's where martyr comes out of. People who laid down their lives, that sense of, I want to tell others. And we see that as this book of Acts progresses. And Acts 1 verse 8, that's why we've chosen it as a key verse as we look through this time. It shows, as the book unfolds, how this message goes from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and that kind of harkens back to Jesus with the woman at the well, isn't it? People worshiping in spirit and truth, and to the ends of the earth, you know. And at that time, isn't it, Rome, that would be the enemy's place, isn't it? They're holding them in subjection as a nation. And of course, we see that's going on when we look at the book of Romans and the missionary journeys. This incredible message doesn't stop. So be encouraged. This gospel message doesn't stop. It keeps going forward. It even makes it as far to Lisbon, Wales. Isn't it amazing? This gospel message doesn't stop. Verse 9, and when he'd said these things, as they were looking up, gazing into heaven, looking up, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Interesting, he doesn't go from the middle, from the Temple Mount, from the middle of Jerusalem. He's actually in Bethany. It's not even at the top of the Mount of Olives. It's kind of down the dip. If you go to the Mount of Olives, there's lots of churches because of the ascension. But actually, it wasn't there. It wasn't at the top of the Mount of Olives. It was just over the corner, a little place called Bethany, where his friends are with those disciples. Isn't it amazing that the God of the universe is interested in little me and you and meets us where we're at? And think of the things that happened in Bethany. That's where Lazarus was healed. That's where Mary and Martha, that's who they were. Isn't it amazing? It's not in this big triumphant thing. Jesus is interested in the nitty-gritty. As we looked at the story, the timeline, what stood out to me was the personal testimony, Roz's testimony, different testimonies of God used different individuals to bring care and support into a person's life. And that's where Jesus leaves them. So you see the scene, this ascension, and they're looking up. And then two men, there's angels, there's angelic visitation. And they say, verse 11, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And then that makes sense with the other prophecies. And when Jesus comes back, he'll come back in a different manner. But we're in this incredible period of time when we've got this charge to listen, to wait. That's a hard thing for some of us. These disciples are now got to wait. Jesus does encourage them. He says it's not long. It's 10 days, isn't it? Pentecost, 50 days, 50 days from Passover. It's a Jewish festival. He ascends on day 40, so they've got to wait for 10 days. So they see him ascend. They've got that charge. They're in that waiting. We've got this overview. Just going through. Then the next section is an unusual section. It talks about Matthias chosen to replace Judas. I shan't read it all. It's interesting. It's got some gory details about Judas's body and his insides coming out. I'm not sure what spiritual stuff we can learn from that, other than, do you know what? You know, Satan wants to bring total destruction and on death. You know, that's what he's about. But one thing that I want to just zone in on, so they effectively cast lots, and they haven't got the Holy Spirit yet. So, you know, it's an unusual thing that we don't do that for choosing leaders. We don't put everyone's name in the hat. Well, there was a specific few that were in that, as it were. But it is an Old Testament thing when they couldn't make a decision. They cast lots. But what I want to, for us, the application, and the thing that can encourage us is verse 14. See, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was about 120. So, yes, they're in this kind of downtime. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit. They feel that sense, or Peter feels that sense, we need to replace their actual disciple. Do they need to replace the disciple? Some people say they didn't need to. And of course, what is the charge? The charge, Jesus's charge, is to make disciples of all nations, isn't it? And we are his disciples when we take those words, when we listen, and when we act, and when we do, isn't it? And it's the encouragement for me is that thing about unity. Unity is so important. All of these with one accord, devoting themselves to prayer. You know, and just as we close this time is running away from us. But I just want us just to maybe as we zoom out, just to think on just some of those main thoughts that we've seen. You know, waiting on him, listening to his instructions. Those instructions haven't changed. This is the mandate. Go and make disciples. You will receive power. God wants us to be salt and light. He wants us to bear witness. But to bear an effective witness, I need to spend time with him. For us to get the most out of this time, it can't just be tuning in on a Sunday. God wants to walk with you, talk with you, help you in the midst of everything. And yeah, let's maintain that spirit of unity, that devoting themselves to prayer. one of the things as a church and as a leadership, we want to start praying, or we are praying, but we want to continue to pray and pray into where God has put us. What is God going to do among us? Yeah, as restrictions start lifting, what ministries are we going to start, restart, new things? Where are you going to be part of it? What are you going to be involved with? And this is an exciting time. This is a time of transition. For these early disciples, this book of Acts is incredible transition. Imagine that. The last thing you want, you know, persecution to this boldness, to them going to different countries. But it shows how the Gentile church is established, how a church in Antioch then is one of the first churches that sends people out. An incredible, incredible narrative that we're going to be looking at. But my encouragement and invitation to you is, do you want to be one of those ones? Do you want to be part of the action, or do you want to just be reading about it on Wales Online? Or are you going to be saying, God, what are you speaking to me? What is my part in it? And that it's an inspiring book. It's an encouraging book. It's a challenging book. But my prayer is that, you know, God has done something in your life for a reason. If God has given you something, if God has given you a gift or a talent, it's not for you, it's for others. God wants to raise us up. He wants to work in and through us. Who wants to see more stories like Leslie and Roz and the impact that that had on entire life because someone was kind and reached out? And God's going to be moving us into that phase, from moving from that being, so important to be, to listening, but moving into do. I think Shay's got something to share before we wrap up.
Yeah, just going back to what I read earlier on, the word that really kind of stood out for me there is that word spectator. And I don't believe that we're called to be spectators of the gospel. I believe that we're called to be fully committed, fully participating, you know. And I think one of the things as humans, we can tend to go to two defaults. We tend to move away from what's, you know, going to stretch us or uncomfortable. We tend to move towards what's easy, what's comfortable, what's familiar, what we like. But, you know, anybody that's done anything with, you know, a great achievement, whether it's running, whether it's musical, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, that's taken pushing, that's taken stretching, that's taken, you know, stepping out of our comfort zones, that's taken taking a risk, being vulnerable, being, you know, I don't know what's coming, but you know what, I'm going to give this a go. And, you know, often we can focus on the cost or what we're going to lose or what it's going to feel like, but actually, let's focus on the promise. Let's focus on the promise of what God is calling us to. And, you know, just like Chris has said, we want to invite, there's this great invitation to go on this journey with Jesus. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what's coming. There's unfamiliar. There's going to be stretching. There's going to be perhaps being vulnerable. There's going to be, you know, things which are not quite comfortable or not, you know, or new. But let's give it a go. Let's at least give it a go. Because guess what? Guess what could happen? Something great could come out of it. And if nothing happens, well, hey, we've given it a go. So let's push out of those comfort zones. Let's push out of the comfortable, the familiar, the easy, and let's push into the great adventure that God has for us, really, because I know that the promise that's on there, the promise that's waiting, is so much more richer than anything we've known or know right now. So, yeah.
Thank you, Shane.